Good morning. We're glad you're here today. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. This is just a little bit of brief history. This is right in the middle of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was the longest section of text, longest sermon that is recorded in the Bible of Jesus's, and he covers everything in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're kind of smack dab in the middle of that sermon, and so we're going to pick it up today in verses 14 and 15. So first, let me just say, I know Andy just prayed, but let me pray real quick before I get started, because I need that. And so if you would with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning to come and be a messenger of your word, Lord. And I pray that it's just that it is your word fully and completely, Lord, and not me. Father, I just want to be your vessel today. And so thank you for the word that you've given to me and that you've encouraged me in. And so I pray that today, Lord, I would be able to communicate that well to your body, Lord, that we could grow and be strengthened and encouraged in your son, Jesus, through your word, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray for the indwelling and the power of the Holy Spirit upon myself today, Lord, as I speak, and upon those who hear today, God, that you would give us ears to hear. So, Lord, just increase our love for you through your word today. It's in Jesus' holy name that I pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, 15. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15. "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Kind of like that the way that NLT says it. It says, "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." I don't know why I just said I like the way that sounds, because I really don't like the way that sounds. I did not want to preach on this verse today, because I know my own struggle with bitterness, unforgiveness. It's probably the biggest struggle that I have as a believer and follower of Jesus, is holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness. And so when Jared asked me a couple weeks ago, we were trying to figure out how we wanted to tag team the couple weeks that Pastor Rob was out of town. And he said that he felt like he was supposed to preach kind of on forgiveness, but not directly on forgiveness. And we were here last week for Jared's sermon, just kind of about what you need to do, how to prepare your heart for forgiveness and forgiving yourself. And so Jared did an amazing job. And the game plan was that I would handle the forgiveness part. And then as I got into handling the forgiveness part, I realized that Jared snickered me. And I probably should not have agreed to that, because it was very difficult for me to get through. And so, but I think that was probably intentional. Maybe not on Jared's part, but on the Lord's part. Because oftentimes when I preach or when I share something or when I study something, it's never any accident that I end up getting stuck with the thing that I need more than anything else. And so I kind of rejoice in that and shudder at that at the same time. And so I didn't want to preach this. I tried to find other verses on forgiveness that would probably fit the bill, but kept coming back to this one. If you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. And I'm no stranger to the room that I'm standing in. I know deeply how some of us have been hurt, have been very, very just deep atrocities that have been done to us by the hands of others. I know that just the depth of some of the pain and hurt and wounds that don't just go away. Sorry, that's bothering me. I understand that. And so when I stand here and say, hey, if you don't forgive others, your Father's not going to forgive you, I'm like, oh boy, I'm about to open up a can. And so I'm going to try and do it tenderly, because I need it tenderly also. But I'm going to try to do it tenderly, but this is the Bible. And so I think we have to take it very seriously as well. Jared, Pastor Rob, sorry, has the boom. Jared had last week the boom. So today we have the bam. It's for you. We have the bam today. Let me read this to you. There is a vital link between the way you treat other people and the way that God in heaven is going to treat you. An ongoing, unforgiving, bitter, and angry spirit will kill a person's heart, making them shipwreck their faith and prove that they never belonged to God. So part of that was mine. The larger part of that I paraphrased from Charles Spurgeon, but yeah, ouch. That's the next thing I wrote here. Ouch. Ouch. Because lines like prove that they never belonged to God. I don't like that line. I don't care much for that, because I know the unforgiveness in my own heart. I know the offense that I try to hold on to when people have hurt me or hurt people that I love. And there are people today that, if I was honest, which I probably don't want to be, that I would say very deeply that I have not forgiven them. That I am very tightly holding on to anger and bitterness and hatred for them. And to read texts like this is like, hey, Ty, guess what? If you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. And so that is very, very hard to read. Because many of us, I know myself, I would really love to have this nice, neat, little, pretty Jesus package, to where I come and I participate in the church, and I'm an elder in the church, and I worship, and everything looks really good over here, but I can still hold on to that hatred and anger over here that nobody really, you know, I can hide it well enough. I can, you know, put bows on it and make it look pretty so that, you know, and I can stand up here on a Sunday morning and talk about, yeah, I struggle with this, you know, and make it sound all well and good. But, you know, it's very clear in this text that Jesus says you can't do that. You know, I can't still have hatred in my heart here and be filled with the Holy Spirit here. Have hatred in my heart here and be full of joy here. I can't have hatred and disdain for a person here and have the radiant love of Jesus pouring out of me here. They don't, it's like oil and water. They're not going to mix. So if there's hatred in my heart, I have drawn a dividing line between myself and Jesus. Have I not? And so we can't have this tidy little relationship on one side and this bitterness and anger on the other side. Now, a couple things I think I need to clarify before we go on is that this text is not saying that by forgiving others, we are earning our salvation. Okay, I want to make sure that's clear. Because the Bible makes it very clear in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, through faith, not by your own doing, but it's a gift of God, right? And in verse 9 it says that it is not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So your salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone, a free gift of God. You're not going to earn it by forgiving others. Okay, so that needs to be very clear, because that to think that would be contrary to the Bible. Okay, so I don't want to give that image today that if you forgive others, you can earn your salvation. On the other side of that, though, is that if we have our salvation in Christ, if we have received Christ into our hearts and the forgiveness that comes from God alone, that we will be filled with an eagerness and a readiness to forgive others, because we know the forgiveness that we have received. So it's kind of, it's not you're earning it, but it says that if it's poured into you, it's going to overflow out of you. And so if it's not overflowing out of you, then is it in you? Okay. And the last thing that I think I want to make sure that is clear before I start is that forgiveness is your responsibility. Okay? Your responsibility. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk more about that, but it is not, you don't get to hold on to that bitterness and anger until they earn their forgiveness. Your job in Christ is to give the forgiveness. Okay? Okay. So when we refuse to forgive others, when we hold on to that, like I confess that I do, what I am doing is I am essentially usurping God's power, God's authority. I'm saying that God is not just. He's not just enough for my anger. He's not just enough for the pain that happened to me. It may work for you, but I was hurt this bad, or someone I love was hurt this bad, so God is not just enough for that. And so it's you're essentially saying that God is not just. God is not able to judge properly, is what it comes down to. Ironically, Mark Twain, who by all accounts was an unbeliever, has an interesting quote. He said, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet gives to the heel that crushes it." Just imagine that picture. That, you know, as the flower is being crushed under the heel, that the scent of the flower is being applied to the heel that crushes it. And so I thought that was a beautiful picture of what forgiveness is. Now this the text that we read in Matthew chapter 6 from the Sermon on the Mount is, you know, it's not like it's just one place in the Bible and then you can kind of skip past it and it doesn't really hit on that again in the rest of Scriptures, because Jesus brings it up again in Matthew chapter 18 when he's talking about the parable of the unforgiving servant. It says, verse 32, it says, "Then the master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt." Verse 35 says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So the parable of the unforgiving servant is, the story is that there was a servant that had come before the king, had owed this astronomical debt to the king. You know, they millions of dollars if it were in our day and age. Something he could never repay in the entirety of his lifetime. And he went before the king and pled with the king and begged the king, and the king forgave the entire debt. You know, rather than jailing him, rather than making him a slave to work it off for, you know, work as much of it off as he can for the rest of his life, including his family, the king forgave the entire debt, sent the servant on his way, totally forgiven. As the servant was leaving, he came across a fellow servant that owed him $10. And he commenced to have his fellow servant thrown into jail because he wouldn't pay him the debt. So he just received this unbelievable, unapproachable forgiveness of debt and would not give a small debt forgiveness, right? And so that picture for us is the picture of ourselves when it comes to forgiveness, is that, you know, every sin that we have committed is forgiven in Christ Jesus. Every wrong we've ever done is forgiven in Christ. And then to turn around and hold a debt or hold a grudge or bitterness or anger over someone else, then is this, you know, small, minuscule, you know, essentially, not, I won't say meaningless because that's probably not a fair word, but in comparison to the enormity of our sin, in throughout all our lifetime to deny forgiveness to another person in the face of what we have been forgiven is just that. What do you say? You wicked servant. So how do we accomplish this? Because this sounds hard. So there's two parts, I think, to this equation. There's the God's forgiveness of us part and our forgiveness of others part. So first I want to talk about God's forgiveness of us. Okay? So God in Christ forgave us. And then likewise, we in Christ forgive others. So the first part of that, God in Christ forgave us. So the word that is used, that word, kind of theological word for that, is the word atonement. And so as I was kind of researching the, and I didn't write any of them down, which I think I should have, but as I was researching for today and just going through and just kind of digging into the word forgiveness and what it means and what, you know, because the Bible wasn't written in English. And so when it says forgive, I know what that means in English, but what did that mean like in the original language it was written in? So there's about five or six different words in the Greek and Hebrew that get used, that get translated to forgive in the English Bible. And so I was kind of blown away by the different, you know, they kind of all say the same thing essentially because they're all translated forgive, but it says it in so many different ways. It's, you know, some of them mean like to just set free, to release, to separate from eternally. But some of them mean forgiveness, it says, to be the shield bearer. So that to forgive someone, you are holding the shield for that, you are blocking that person from the penalty of their sin. And so that one in particular struck me. I was like, to forgive a person is to be the armor bearer or the shield bearer for that person, holding the defense for that person's wrong. So you, the offended, holding up and defending the offender. And so things like that. So you've got this in the scriptures with Christ, where the atonement word that I said is where in Christ, in God's forgiveness of us through Christ on the cross, that word atonement is kind of all those things. It's that you've been separated from your sins, you've been forgiven from your sins, but Christ has also become your shield, protecting you from the consequences of your sin. Because don't be mistaken, there are consequences for your sin. Don't think that because you will not face Don't think that because as if you are in Christ Jesus, forgiven, and will not face those consequences, that those consequences do not exist, because they do, and they were paid by Jesus. Okay? So that's step number one, is God in Christ forgave us. Christ Jesus, born of man, divinely indwelled in Mary by the Holy Spirit, born to her, the Son of God, raised up, perfect, spotless lamb, unblemished, no sin. He never sinned. Okay? I don't know why I'm holding my hands up. He never sinned. He deserved no punishment. He had no debt to pay. Gave himself to receive your punishment. Okay? So the punishment that you receive, the wrath that we deserve, Christ took for us. And so in Christ then, through Christ's payment of that, God forgave us. So that's the first step of this. God in Christ forgave us. The second part says, likewise, we in Christ forgive others. So Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So it says every one of me, I became plural, we have sinned. We have all fallen short. We do not deserve the glory of God. But then a little bit further on in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, but, it says the penalty of sin is death. You deserve the wrath of God. But in Christ Jesus, you have received eternal life. It's the free gift of God. So that free gift that was given through Christ to us, now it is ours to give freely to those who have offended us. Charles Spurgeon says, the solution is to gain a heart that is overflowingly thankful for grace from Christ and that spills over with grace toward others. So the solution to our bitterness, to my bitterness, is to be so aware of Christ's forgiveness of me. To be so aware and so completely overwhelmed, used there, overwhelmed by the depth of sin that I have been forgiven of, by the wrath that was rightfully mine. I owned it. It was mine to pay for. But Christ paid it for me. And if that does not overwhelm me to the point that I am just overflowing for the opportunity to be able to pour out that same love onto others, then that goes back to the prove that it was not in you. Because if I'm overwhelmed by that love of Christ, then that same love, overwhelming love, will pour out of me onto others. So, three things real quick. Human forgiveness is to parallel divine forgiveness. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's you forgive us as we forgive others. And so it's a parallel, right? So in Christ, so how we do this, how we accomplish this. First thing is our forgiveness of others should parallel God's forgiveness of us. Right? Next thing on that is that there are actual conditions to forgiveness. Okay? That if the conditions are fulfilled, then there is no limitation to Christ's Christ's law of forgiveness. So in Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And so unlimited number of times that if your brother sins against you, that you will forgive him. Now, what are the conditions? It's kind of a trick question, but the conditions are repentance and confession, or confession and repentance, right? So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So if your brother will listen and will repent, you are to forgive him. But what about those that are unrepentant? I'm going to leave that dangling for a bit, because we're going to talk about that. So, but if someone comes to you in repentance and confesses their wrong and asks you to forgive them, there is no justification for unforgiveness. Ever. So, forgiveness. I found this quote by Thomas Watson, who was like a 17th century writer. What is forgiveness? It says, when we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but wish to do them well. Grieve at their calamities. Pray for them. Seek reconciliation with them. And show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. I thought that was a pretty good definition of forgiveness. So that, and the reason why I think it's pretty good is because it, like, everything in there is straight out of the Bible. So let me go through them with you. So the first thing it says, when we strive against thoughts of revenge, when we resist revenge, Romans 12, 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." So we resist revenge. Next it says, when we will not do our enemies mischief, evil. Not returning evil for evil. It says, see to it, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. The next thing he says there is, but wish them well. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Next thing says, we grieve at their calamities. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Let's go to the next one. He says, pray for them. Praying for their welfare. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Next, it says in Thomas Watson's quote, seek reconciliation with them. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Seeking reconciliation. Next one says, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. So that's, you know, coming to assist them when they need help. Exodus chapter 23, verse 4 says, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. Coming to the aid of those who have wronged you. So, what is forgiveness not? I think that that is something that I probably struggle with, because there are certain things in our lives, even right now, that I feel like that if I let down my anger, if I let them know, or I have an encounter that I don't remind them of the offense. Let me say it that way. If I don't feel like I constantly am making sure they know the offense that is happening, then I'm giving approval to their sin. So that's where I wrestle with that. Like, well, if I just be okay with this, then isn't it just me saying that go ahead and do what you're doing? Isn't it just me giving approval to the wrong that you are doing? And so I have this list of things here that forgiveness is not. And it's going to be up on the screen if you want to read along with me. But I'm just going to read them to you, because I think that a lot of us, and myself, as I was kind of writing them down and stealing them from other people and coming up with a few, that it really, you know, there were several in there that I was like, man, those things are really difficult for me to grasp, because it's so hard to let go of those things that feel like I'm setting free, or I'm giving approval to, or I'm putting my stamp on something that I know is completely wrong. And so let me just read this to you. Forgiveness does not mean approving of what someone else did. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. Forgiveness does not mean that you don't get angry. Forgiveness does not mean giving approval to sinful ideas or actions. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. Forgiveness does not mean justifying evil so that somehow sin becomes less sinful. Forgiveness does not mean overlooking abuse. It does not mean denying that others have tried to hurt you, even repeatedly. Forgiveness does not mean letting others walk all over you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting the wrong that was done. I think I skipped one. Forgiveness does not mean refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed. Excuse me. Forgiveness does not mean pretending that you were never hurt. It does not mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before, or that you must become best friends again. Forgiveness does not mean that there must be a total reconciliation as if nothing has ever happened. Forgiveness does not mean that you must tell the person that you have forgiven them. Sometimes it's better if you never speak to them again. But that doesn't mean that you cannot forgive them. And forgiveness, last one I have, and you could probably add more, does not mean that all negative consequences of sin are canceled. Now, I left that one last because forgiveness for you and I in Christ means that all negative consequences of sin for us are canceled. But in our world and in our life, that, you know, there are consequences for sin. And there should be consequences for sin. Okay? But the consequences for sin are not yours and mine to deal, right? So I talked a little bit ago about what happens if that person or those persons do not repent, do not confess, do not even feel like they've done anything wrong or don't care. How do you forgive an unrepentant person? Found this. It says, though the relationship will never be restored until the offending person desires forgiveness, still we are not to hold a grudge, but forgive them from the heart and be free from any bitterness, showing only love and mercy. This is only possible when we are surrendered to, controlled by, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So back when I said that God in Christ forgave us, and likewise we in Christ forgive others, the only way that we are able to truly forgive other people now unrepentant people, is because Christ's forgiveness for us. Because when Christ forgave me, when Christ came and like filled me and indwelled me, I had not yet asked for forgiveness. It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit filled me that I knew my need for forgiveness, right? That the Holy Spirit filled my heart. And in that time, my eyes were open to know the sin that I had. And when that sin was revealed to me, I knew the depths of which I must repent. Everybody began to know the depths for which I must repent. But Christ gave me the forgiveness first. Did he not? Wasn't his death on the cross long before I was even born? Christ offered up forgiveness, offered up payment for my sin before I ever thought of coming to him for repentance, for forgiveness. And so when an unrepentant person or a person has wronged you and is unrepentant, I think that that's the same mindset we have to have. They may never repent. How many people has Christ's blood been offered to that never receive it? How many people are walking around every day that all they have to do is receive the love of Christ, is to receive the forgiveness offered through Christ Jesus, but the devil has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. They're unable to know the forgiveness that they need, the debt that they owe. And so the person may never forgive or may never seek forgiveness from you, but our responsibility is to still, in Christ, forgive them. I'm going to say that Spurgeon quote again. The solution is to gain a heart that is overflowingly thankful for grace from Christ and that spills over with grace for others. If that heart is dwelling in you, okay, I'm not saying it's easy. I think I've said it's not because I really battle with it myself. But if that heart is dwelling in me, then my desire is going to be to forgive them. My desire, I'm going to, like Thomas Watson said, I'm going to strive against thoughts of revenge. It doesn't say I'm not going to ever have thoughts of revenge. It says I'm going to strive against them. When those thoughts come in, when that anger starts to boil, when I start to feel the hatred that will burn up in my heart, when that starts to just beat me down and I want nothing but violence, that's where the Holy Spirit says, hey, Ty, remember how I've forgiven you? Remember how I've shown you my love? Remember how I've put my Holy Spirit into you? When you didn't even know I was there, I came and filled you. And it says, come and forgive them. It's like this beckoning call of Christ to come and forgive those that have caused us the worst pain. You know, it's one thing to, you know, forgive someone that has like hurt you one time and, you know, they ask for forgiveness and you offer them forgiveness and you can move on. But you know, perpetual offenders, people that never even seek forgiveness, people that will never confess their wrong, that you're just left wanting to, you know, I just feel like I want to convince them of their wrong before I can forgive them. That's not what Christ is saying to do. He's saying forgive them. And if they realize their sin, they too will repent and receive the same forgiveness I've received. But it is my duty and my call from Christ to give them the forgiveness just as freely as I was given it. In a heart that is overflowingly thankful for grace from Christ and that spills over with grace toward others. I don't know that I can forgive like that. But I know that if I were ever in that situation, that the Holy Spirit that lives in me would help me. I know that some of you have been so hurt. And there's nothing that will ever... Jared said something the other day when he and I were talking. He said, you can't ever go back. It's like you can restore, you can reconcile, but you can never go back. You can never undo it. And that is sadly true. That once the pain is there, then the memories of that pain will forever last. But God in Christ forgave everyone who will receive him. And we in Christ have the ability to give that same free forgiveness to those that have hurt us. I read that whole list of what it's not. But it's what forgiveness is that really matters. Right? So, There is a vital link between the way you treat other people and the way God in heaven is going to treat you. An ongoing, unforgiving, bitter, and angry spirit will kill a person's heart, making them shipwreck their faith and prove they never belong to God. My prayer today is that each and every one of us will prove the opposite of that. That through the forgiveness that Christ allows us, that Christ gives us, that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, helps us to give to others, we will pour out forgiveness and grace and peace to those that have hurt us, undeserving or deserving. It's easy to forgive, you know, when somebody has all kinds of reasons and excuses for why what happened, but it's when somebody, when there's no reason to forgive, that's when Christ helps. So, let me pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you today, Lord, that you have saved us and redeemed us. I thank you, God, that we can come to you, Lord, and much like this young lady in the video, Lord, that with unmeasurable hurt. And Jesus, that you know intimately that pain. You have felt it. And you have forgiven it. And Jesus, that in you alone are we able to give the forgiveness that you ask us to give. Lord, and so I pray over each and every man and woman here, Lord, over everyone that is part of this body that is not here today, Lord. Lord, that you would overwhelmingly fill our hearts with grace and from Christ, forgiveness from Christ, that it is just pouring like a waterfall out of us, God, onto everyone we encounter, God, that we may be a people that are able to forgive. Lord, that forgiveness of sin is the greatest thing that has ever happened in the world through the blood of your Son. And so, Lord, may we just perpetuate that in our own lives, God, pouring forth that same love and forgiveness. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that today, Lord, that you would pour that into us, God. And then, Lord, that the first thing we talked about is that God in Christ forgave us. God, if there is anyone here today that does not yet know the forgiveness that Jesus has, Lord Jesus, we want them to know. We beg, Lord, we desperately, like this young lady just crying and pleading for the salvation of her stepfather that had killed her mother. Lord Jesus, we plead for the salvation of those that are far from you, that don't know you, that are wondering what this is all about. Holy Spirit, may you fill them with a heart that just opens their eyes, Lord, that they could see your love and see the forgiveness that you have given them, God, and that they would come to you in repentance and seeking that your love would fill them, God, and that you would save them. Begin this journey of learning how to forgive others, learning how to overcome offense and brokenness. So Lord, we praise you, God, that it is in you alone, Jesus. In you alone, God, do we have the strength and the power. And so Lord, there's nowhere else I'd rather it be. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.